My name is Rodney. I'm going to open us up with a word of prayer. Could I get someone to read 1 John 2, 12 through 14 for me? Just get you guys a little involved so I don't talk the whole time. That would be really nice. So if someone wants to turn to 1 John 2 for me, that would be nice. Just read when you want to, 12 through 14.
I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one.
I was just reading through the Bible, doing my personal study, and that's something that came up and really spoke to my heart, is that we're never going to be at the point where the Bible's not going to have something to show us. No matter where you're at spiritually, whether you're a spiritual infant, spiritual grandfather, my prayer is that you guys will just have soft hearts, open minds. I'm not the best teacher. I'm not the smartest guy, but I just my prayer is that you guys will get something out of this. So I'll open us up in prayer. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity, God. I just pray that you'll calm my nerves, that your Holy Spirit will speak through me, that the time you've blessed me with to prepare will be fruitful, and that whatever you have to say will be shown through. I just thank you again for all these people that made it. I pray that you'll just bless this word, bless this time of fellowship. In your name, amen. So if you guys want to turn with me to Romans 12, we're going to be in there for most of the time. So Romans 12 starts off with I beseech you therefore. So of course, you guys been in church, you guys always know if you see a therefore, you want to see what it's there for. So I'll be starting in Romans 11:33, and that reads, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." I was just doing my personal study, and I was just reading through the books of Romans, and this really stuck out this week. God really laid on my heart that this is what he had to share, had me share. And I was thinking about going through the whole book of Romans, whole chapter of Romans 12. But I was just reading through that, and I just really thought that was a powerful part of Scripture. For of him and through him and to him are all things. God is so much bigger than we ever give him credit for, than we can ever imagine. And I really, it's kind of, when I read this for the first time, it was really kind of shocking how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past understanding. It's kind of intimidating when you think about it, how unsearchable. How do you search the unsearchable? That's a question I had to answer for myself is, and I think Matthew 7:7 puts it really clearly, is ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find. That's a promise from God saying that though he may seem unsearchable, if we seek him, we will meet him, we will find him, and he'll meet us where we're at. I think that's just a really powerful part of Scripture, and it's for his glory. We're searching him, and he's in all things. I think a lot of problems people have, whether it's personal life, within the church, within home, within work, it's a small view of God. God's bigger than we could ever understand. There's a lot of Psalms, a lot of Proverbs that talk about God just overflowing the capacity of our mind, how he's so much greater than we could ever fully understand. Our human minds will never have the understanding to understand how great he is. There's not enough books in the world to describe his goodness and greatness, and it's kind of, that's really where the root of how we live our lives are, is how we see God. And so I'm going to turn to, you guys can stay in Romans, I'm just going to turn to 1 Timothy 1, and I'm going to read some verses there that I really felt was important. So 1 Timothy 1, verses 3 through 7. As I urge you, when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some, that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some have strayed, having turned aside idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor things which they affirm. This is just Timothy introducing the church, telling us that no other doctrine but God. And it's just simple, black and white. God of the Bible is the only God. And I really like how it says sincere faith, from which some have strayed, desiring to teach the law, but they don't understand. It's faith comes and then understanding. Faith is before you understand. You have to have faith in God and that he will reveal things to you before you can expect to understand the things that he is going to reveal. And back to the verse that said, no other doctrine. Your image of God, how you see God, how you treat God, is how it's going to affect how you live your life. If you take away or add to the God of the Bible, that's no longer the God of the Bible. If you say, God isn't strong enough to handle this problem in my life, then that's no longer God. If you say, if you add unbiblical attributes to God, it's no longer God, it's a false God. You can call him the God of the Bible, but it's still a false God. And I feel a lot of people, especially in the church, and I see it in high school all the time, is that they will serve God, and they won't serve the God of the Bible. And they'll have a false assurance, and they won't have a sincere faith that it talks about later in Timothy. And it's just no other doctrine. Romans 10:9 tells us how to be saved. Believe in your hearts, then confess with your mouth. And what you believe in your heart is really what's going to get you saved. And you have to believe what the Bible says about God. And to do that, you must seek him. So back to my second point, we're going to continue in Romans 12 now. Now that we kind of get the idea how big God is and how we must seek him, Romans 12:1 reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I just really like, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I beg of you, by the mercies of God, because of God's greatness, because of his goodness, Paul's just begging us, like, because of how great God is, be a living sacrifice. And something, you look back in the Bible and sacrifice play a huge role. The Jewish people today would have gotten a better understanding than we would of what that means of sacrifice. But this isn't a substitutionary sacrifice. This isn't, if we live our lives sacrificially, we'll go to heaven. It's a reasonable service. It's because we're going to live our lives as sacrifice to prove God's greatness, not to receive anything. We're not living sacrificially to get saved. That's the result of our salvation. It's just sacrificing everything to him. And I really like, this actually is my lock screen for my phone, is Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed, be transformed. It's easier to, I don't know how to word this, it's a lot easier to let the world control you than it is for you to control the world. We're not called to be of the world, we're in the world to serve the world, to serve God and show them the gospel. And it's kind of an interesting contrast how it says, don't conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that takes time. I know when I first heard the gospel, I was young, and I had no clue what it meant, and I had no discipleship. And so I lived my life having a false assurance that because I rose my hand once or I walked up an altar once that I was saved, and that just wasn't true. True salvation has fruits, but also part of that is the transforming of our mind. It takes conscious effort, and it can take time. Something I noticed in high school is that a lot of people have this microwave mentality that they need to to get saved, become the best preacher, become this, become that, become a missionary next week. Like, once I get saved, next week I'm going to be in Guatemala. No, that's not how it works. It's a process, and it takes time to renew our minds. But it's also a choice, living moment by moment as a daily sacrifice to God. I'm going to continue reading through. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one in Christ and individually members of one another. We may not all have the same functions in the church, outside the world, but we all have the same sacrifice, and that's our lives. That's all of our lives, every part, home, family, school, friends. Every part of our life is to be given to God. That might look differently in people's lives because they have different functions, like verse 4, but all members do not have the same function. We won't all be doing the same thing. We all aren't going to be the next Billy Graham. We're all not going to be missionaries, but we are all called to give the same thing, our whole lives to God. And that's something that really spoke to me, something that's really speaking to me in my personal study, is that don't be a once-a-week Christian. Don't be a, I'll be a Christian on Sunday, and then the rest of the week I'll do this and that, and then Saturday night I'll repent and come to church Sunday morning. Because that's how I just see so much of my school live their life, and it's so hard. It's so much harder than just giving it up to God. So we won't have the same functions, but we have the same sacrifice. But that sacrifice won't always look the same. And then, so God is big. We're called to sacrifice our lives. And then we continue in verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. I know I broke that up weird. I went into that ninth verse for a reason, but I'm going to touch on verses 6 through 8. It just talks about a lot of spiritual gifts. People are gifted with different things. I'm definitely not the most gifted preacher or teacher, this or that. But what I do try to do is that when I do something, I do it with excess. I do it with zeal. I do it with service, a servant's heart, a full sacrifice, and that's really what we're called to do. He who gives, give with liberality, give with abundance. He who prophesy, let it prophesy in proportion to his faith. Give with what you have, where you're at. You should be able to live your life and serve no matter where you are at your walk. Like that first, what we read in 1 John, referring to everyone in every walk of life, there's something applicable to everything. And God can use you and teach you where you're at. You don't have to be the most powerful Christian. You don't have to be the most powerful this or that. But God can use you in proportion. And then I really like it, just 7, ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. What we do, teaching, let us use it in teaching. Who exhorts in exhortation, who gives with liberality, just serve sacrificially, because our lives is God's. We give our lives as a living sacrifice to God, and we should serve in that same manner, that not serve with pride or agenda, but serve to serve him. Let's see what my notes say. And do it all with love. I'm going to wrap it up with verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Adore what is evil. Cling to what is good. I didn't really know what the word abhor meant. At first I thought it said adore, and I'm like, well, oh, that, okay, never mind. Okay. But adore, abhor, there we go. Not adore, abhor means regard with disgust and hatred. There's evil in the world, and we're called to adore, abhor it. There we go. And that doesn't mean ignore it. We're not called to ignore evil things. We're not called to be like, oh, let them live their life. If they're happy, that's their life. No, we're called to regard it with disgust and hatred. How often does the Bible say hate things? Only in the context of evil does the Bible say hate. We're not to hate the person. We're not to hate their choice. We're to hate their choices. We're to love the person. Greatest commandment Love without hypocrisy. Love everyone no matter what they do. But hate the sin, the evil that's in their life. And I really like, if you continue through Romans 12, it's powerful verse. Verse is the part of scripture that just talks about like just how to be like a Christian. Not in like, oh, you have to pretend to be a Christian, but like the things, the fruits in your life that you should see if you're serving God. I think that's really cool. You continue through that, it'll talk more about that. But I'm going to wrap it up just saying this, cling to what is good. You can live your life pretending to do good. You can live your life doing what the world said is good. The world's version of good changes every other week. You guys look at the news, you look at this and that. Through generations, good is perverted. We need to cling to what is good and what the Bible says. And how do we find out what is good? God is good. God is good. And so we have to seek him. And because who he is, we need to live a life of sacrifice, a living sacrifice to God, surrendering everything to him. And then as we serve him sacrificially with zeal, just dedicating every part of our life, everything we do to him. And I think that's just going to be my prayer for you guys, is that if you got anything from this study, is that as you continue to seek God and you live sacrificially, that you'll be able to serve sacrificially as well with the gifts that God's given us. Something I left out, I just realized in my notes, was the gifts that God has blessed us with, they're not going to grow overnight. Like I talked about in earlier verses, the microwave mentality. We need to pursue and develop the gifts that God has given us, and that's part of the reason what I'm doing right now. I don't know if I'm gifted with teaching. I know that God's spoken to me, God's used me in a lot of hard circumstances, and I'm thankful for that. But this is an opportunity for me to discern what I'm gifted at, and I'd encourage you guys all to just seek God, seek what he has for you, live a sacrificial life, and serve him with all your heart. And that's really all I got for you guys today. I hope that through my rambling, you guys got something useful. Thank you all for coming, and I'll close this off in prayer. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for all these guys who came. I thank you for this scripture, Lord, this study that you've blessed me with, that you've blessed these guys with, that the word that your Holy Spirit spoke through me, Lord. I pray that everyone here would just take something out of it and maybe stew on it the rest of this day, Lord. It's a Saturday morning, and I just thank you for these guys just being here in general, Lord. You don't see a lot of people waking up early Saturday morning to hear a 17-year-old babble, but I just thank you so much for the opportunity to teach, and I pray that even though through what I've said, your Holy Spirit will teach, I thank you so much for all you've done. I pray for everyone here in their personal lives, where they're at spiritually, financially, physically, that they'll surrender that all to you. And that as they seek you daily, living for you moment by moment, they'll have a true realm of who you are, a true idea of how to worship you, that they won't take or add anything to you, Lord, but to just worship you wholeheartedly. I pray that we'll have safe travels on our way home. I pray for all the guys that are up at Camp Living Waters, Lord, that they'll be blessed and they'll have a good and safe time. And I thank you for everyone here. In your name, amen. Thank you, guys.